Phase two in our culture is adolescence. Now, it's interesting, by the way, the Bible does not speak of adolescence. There's no such thing as adolescence in the Bible. No such thing. There's no such thing as teenagers. It's childhood or adulthood in the Bible. There's an assumption that the Bible makes. And I don't want to hijack this, but let me just give a word here. We need to stop allowing the culture and all of the, even some Christian counselors, there's this groupthink that we buy into. And we buy into a groupthink and we end up lowering the expectations for our children. Stop this garbage about, oh, they're teenagers and this is what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to be rebellious. Well, who says so? Who said that? What we just made a norm of something that we shouldn't presuppose, and in so doing, we lower the expectation, and they rise to that level of expectation. So we got to be careful about that. That's all I'm pleading with you. Just be careful of drinking the Kool-Aid. Just because somebody with a PhD who happens to be a Christian says that doesn't necessarily make it consistently so. And I think we need to begin thinking for ourselves. And so, just to make that observation, the Bible does not talk about adolescence. It's amazing. It talks about childhood. Now, you can argue childhood lasted a little longer in the scriptures because they were in the household. Now, having said that, let me jump back into the culture and play according to that context. Adolescence is a season of confliction. It's a season of confliction, where there is the desire to be a man, but not the capacity or the desire to hold on to the responsibility that comes with that designation. It is marked by impulse behavior. Manhood to an adolescence is defined by doing whatever I feel like doing. And ladies, hear me on this. The most dangerous time in a young boy's life is between the ages of 11 and 14 or 15. That is the most dangerous time in his life. That season in a young boy's life is marked by sexual ambivalence. Now, it doesn't mean that they you know, it doesn't mean that they're homosexual. Doesn't mean that they're you know, any of that. It means so much is written about women and their hormones. We need to talk more about guys and their hormones. It is during that time testosterone levels for boys explode. They have nocturnal emissions, and they wake up in the middle of the night with erections, and they don't know how to respond to all of that. And their chemical imbalances in them. They begin acting out in school. And by the way, that's the reason why the key time in a boy's life is his fifth and sixth grade teachers, some as early as fourth grade. And dads, you need to step in. It's during this season that mom needs to step way back. And dads need to step forward. This is the time in your son's life where he is being significantly imprinted. This is also the time in which a lot of these young boys who happen to be a little bit more, and I say this not in a pejorative sense, but happen to be a little bit more on the sensitive side, on the tender side, and they're going through this season of sexual ambivalence, and maybe, you know, they're not athletic or whatever. This is a time in which some male predators will turn them. And boys need a man who is wholesome and healthy to stand in there. This is also the time in which, if we're not careful, sexual dysfunction and conquest will send these young men toward a life of sexual deviant behavior, as in sexual addictions. They don't know what to do with masturbation and these issues and all of this stuff. And if there's not a man in his life helping him to make these transitions. The primary mission during the adolescence time is for a man to step in and pull him through impulse behavior and deliver him from himself. That's where the battle is won. And if there's not a man to do that, you will institutionalize adolescent behavior. And that's the reason why you got these dudes who are 50-year-old, 14-year-olds. Because a man didn't step in and say, hey, shut up, man. You don't have to do that. You're not going to do that. Now, let me give you a couple of quick illustrations. I'm the youngest and only boy, okay? And so I could play my mother like a Stradivarius. I could. And, I could get whatever I wanted from my mom. You know, a little whine in the voice and this kind of thing. And, you know, she would say to my dad, he's a St. Crawford, oh, he don't need to be doing these things and all of this stuff. My dad, you know, he didn't go to any Christian college, read Christian books, or even read Christian magazine articles, not unless it was close to some sports page or so, okay? So, but he intuitively understood this stuff, intuitively understood it. And by the way, I'll get to that later on when I get to patriarchs. I'll get that later. This was one of the high points in my life and development. I kid you not. A defining moment. I just turned 13, barely turned 13. My parents owned a house, and the tenants had moved out. And my father had been telling me all week long, he said, now, boy, on Saturday, we're going to go over there, and you're going to come help me paint, okay? And the whole family was going to be over there. My sisters were going to be there. Everybody, you know, we're going to clean this place and fix it up. And you're going to have... By the way, I hate to paint. To this very day, I hate to paint. I hate it with a passion. And don't tell me, well, you know, it's really easy. Bull feathers, it's not. I hate it. But when I do have to paint, by the way, because I hate it, I don't stop until it's over. I don't care if it takes 3 days, nonstop. But anyway... So I'm trying to game this thing, figure out how can I hotwire my mother to put Pop in his place and I get on off and go play with my friends, right? So we're up there painting. My sisters are downstairs working with my mother. So I'm painting, and so I say I have to go to the bathroom. So that meant I had to go downstairs. And they're working on the bathroom. So I would go downstairs. And my mother's in the kitchen doing something down there. And I, as soon as I see her, I put the wine on. Mom, Pop's making me work upstairs. Oh, I've been working hard all week long in school. You know, 13 years old, working all hard. But I've been in school, and Dwayne Rainey and Lloyd Cotton and these guys. I want to play with them there at the park, and they're going to play some ball and this kind of thing. And so my father comes down. Evidently, I must have stayed too long. He comes down, and this is one of the most significant moments in my life. I kid you not. My mother turns, and I'll never forget, she turned to him and said, now, Crawford, that boy doesn't need to be up there all day long. He's 13 years old, and, you know, he's done enough work and this kind of thing. He needs to be gone. And listen to what my father said. He said to her, Sylvia, I got this. That boy, this is exactly what he said. He said, that boy one day is going to be somebody's father and somebody's mother. And he's going to learn to do what he does not want to do, but what he has to do. And then he turned to me and he said, you get your hind parts upstairs and you paint until I tell you to stop. And to my mother's credit, she turned around. And at that moment, there was a rite of passage. Pop took over. He understood. Now, you might not think that's a big deal. You may think that's a minor deal, but that's huge. And ladies, please don't get upset with me. Stop bailing those little guys of yours out. A little bit of sweat ain't going to hurt him. And under pressure, he's got to learn how to step up and embrace things. And from that moment on, things changed in the Ritz household. I'll tell you another quick story. My youngest son was a phenomenal baseball player. Long story, he felt God calling him to go to a Christian college and go into ministry rather than, you know, going to draft and this kind of thing. And my early retirement program was gone. So you can serve Jesus in the clubhouse. You know that, don't you? But when he played when he was a little guy all the way through. And another thing, and I know you guys know this, I'm preaching to the choir here. I'm preaching to the choir. Isn't one of the worst things in the world when parents make a kid that ain't got no athletic ability in the world? Ain't going to get there. Okay? Just leave him alone. Let him buy a team later on. But don't, leave him alone.